Welcome to the Motherhood Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Lockwood, and on the surface, I teach you how to declutter your home so you can focus on what matters most to you as a mom, which I'm guessing isn't those laundry mountains, dishes stacked to the sky, and the tornadoes you clean up all day. My hope for this podcast is so much more than teaching you to declutter. I record all of my episodes live and in real time so that you can have the experience of a mom friend who gets you and is there for you. My audio isn't perfect, my kids might interrupt us, but the conversations we have are real, impactful, and proof that there are other moms like you that decluttering has worked for. If you want to join me and thousands of other moms for live episodes, go find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Motherhood Simplified and we'll welcome you with open arms. See you soon. I can do. Wellness does not have to be complicated and this like totally super hard thing. And also like any small change that you make matters. So if you're like, I can't do this complete lifestyle overhaul right now, that's okay. Any small change that you make is beneficial to you and your family. Okay. So it's definitely not all or nothing. Obviously, you know, the more things you do, the better things get. As far as like your health and lifestyle and your kids staying well and things like that, but everything makes a difference. Okay. So don't like throw out everything because you can't do all of it. Okay. Yes. So I know a lot of you in here, but I know that there's a ton of you in here that don't know me at all. So I just want to tell you a little bit about my background. I'm a physician assistant. And I am trained in Western, like non-crunchy, totally traditional medicine. I practiced pediatric emergency medicine for several years. And then I unexpectedly wanted to stay home with my daughter, my first daughter, who is six now. I have two kids, they're 6 and 18 months. And so I mostly stay home with them now. I work like a teeny tiny bit every once in a while. To keep my skills, but I mostly just stay home with my kids and that's been great. I've also done a fellowship in integrative medicine. A lot of you probably know what that is. And a lot of you are probably like, have no idea. So integrative medicine is like all the things outside of Western medicine. So like botanicals, nutrition, like nutrition is medicine, not like nutrition, like what to die. But like, what do you need to be like, well, to live the best, to be, you know, the most, to support your body in the most optimal way. Okay. Yeah. So natural remedies, things you can use besides drugs. So all of that kind of stuff. And that's mostly what I use for my family. That's, I mean, and pretty much what I use for my family. I think that Western medicine is great if you have, you know, if you're in a bad car accident, if you have a heart attack, like, that's the place for it. And they are, Western medicine's great for those kind of things and has, you know, really good outcomes. It may not be the best for keeping your family well and for like routine everyday issues. So that's where a lot of the more natural stuff can really shine because there's so many cases where that can give you better results when you're committed to it, than kind of a typical more, you know, mainstream or Western approach.
Yes.
Also, mainstream medicine or Western medicine is not, it's not completely like mutually exclusive to doing things like caring about what you eat and what you bring into your home and things like that. Okay. So those can coexist. And if you think like, oh, I'm not super crunchy, that's okay. Everybody's welcome here. and there's something for everybody here. Okay.
Yes. I think that's a really good way to explain it too, because I think by default, if you do anything that's not like, you know, anything out of the box, you're given this label. And that's something that we talk about a lot in the group is like, let go of the labels. But they, as you heard, like from what she's done, she's got experience and training in both, and both are valuable, both have their place. you can't really do anything in life and be so far on the extremes and expect it to end well for you. So I think that's a really good conversation to have, or a good way to start the conversation is like, it doesn't have to be either or, but as moms, I think the simplest way is to understand both sides and know and educate yourself on when to use the different methods and how to use them. But the most important thing is being proactive in it. Okay. Not waiting until things are so bad that you're desperate, which I've done as a mom with my son, and some health issues that he had. I was like, well, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. And then all of a sudden it was a huge deal. And I got kind of desperate, and it's way better to self-educate, know all different kinds of options. Like Amanda said, be committed to it and learn how to support your body so that you're not just reacting to all these things in your home and your life, and paying attention to little things, like she said, that do matter and do make a difference. You don't have to do it perfectly. You don't have to do it all at once, but just kind of going into it with this mindset of like, I'm going to learn more and figure out how to better support my body, how to proactively promote health and wellness, and approach it from that point instead of like, it has to be one way or the other and it has to be all or nothing, because that's not what it has to be.
Right. Absolutely. I'm definitely going to give you guys some tips for things you can use for, you know, like common everyday kids, you know, cough, cold, fever, that kind of stuff, things that you can do when your kids are sick. But I want you to work on thinking a little bit beyond like just treating illness. Okay. Yes. Because focus on supporting wellness, you're going to deal with illness a whole lot less just to begin with.
Yeah.
I saw this question somewhere, but this is one of the most common things I get asked. My kids are sick all the time. How can I like boost their immune system? How can I help them not be sick? And that's a great question. And it's a complicated question, but we can talk about a lot of things to go with that.
Yeah.
But one thing I want you to kind of just get like thinking about is that not everyone that's exposed to something is going to get that.
Yeah. Okay.
Just because your kid's friend has a snotty, runny nose and you guys hang out does not mean that like death is coming to your child and your family. So I don't want you to be afraid of, you know, that kind of stuff. And when you focus on building wellness and building up, you know, a base, like amazing, awesome immune system, that kind of stuff is no big deal. Okay. So yes, you will occasionally get a little bit of something and that's fine. But not everyone that's exposed to that, you know, snot and that crud is going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And why? What's the difference? It's our body's natural defenses, and you have so much more power and control over that than you have been led to believe.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that you have control over here.
Yeah.
And also with that, I always want to empower families. Like, you have the ability to take care of your children in so many ways. But I also think that with this knowledge and education, you have to really think a little bit about your intuition and think about, what am I really comfortable with and when do I need to get help? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm never suggesting that you treat your critically ill child at home with herbs and oils and just like hope it gets better. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you are scared or worried or something, you know, is something really bad is going on with you or your child, please get care. Okay. I'm not against Western medicine, and you shouldn't necessarily be either. So those resources are there for when you need them. Okay. So just total disclaimer before we talk about any of the good stuff here.
Yes.
That you personally have to feel comfortable with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Some girl on a website told me this. No. You have to feel good about what you're doing. And that's really, really important. Okay.
Yeah.
So do you want me to answer specific questions first or just?
I think the easiest, probably the best blanket place to start is, like you said, self-education. Don't be afraid to buy books and learn about how the body is designed to work, because it's designed to work really well and really efficiently if you support it. So I think the best place to start would be how to support it, because I think a lot of times people wait, like you said, they wait until they're sick or they wait until they've had 6 ear infections before being like, how do I stop this from happening? So what's the best way to support it every day instead of when, just when you're sick?
So nutrition is the foundation of your wellness.
Okay.
Okay. And nutrition is where everything starts. Okay. So you can use all of the, you know, homeopathy, all of the oils, all the herbs out there. But if your foundational nutrition sucks, it's only going to work so well.
Yeah.
And nutrition is something that you don't have to be perfect about. And is something that quite honestly, all of us could probably do a little bit better sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's a place for like constant reevaluation and growth and kind of just one of those things that you always come back to. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or always should come back to. So when we think about nutrition for families, I want you to focus on giving as much non-processed food as you possibly can. Okay. Yeah. And I know that when you first hear that, for a lot of people, it sounds like so intimidating.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be. And I think Krista does a really good job of showing you guys, like, this is a way to eat super simple and healthy, and it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be hard. If you love to cook and you want to do, like, complicated things, and, you know, that's great. Awesome. That's fun sometimes. But if you need just, like, quick, easy meals, there's a ton of them out there. Mm-hmm. If you're needing, like, some kind of jump start. Okay. Mm-hmm. So unprocessed food as much as possible. You know, I don't know if you guys like Dr. Sears. Dr. Sears, in a lot of his older books, talks to kids about like growing foods, and these are the foods that your body needs to grow the best.
Yeah.
And that's a really good way, I think, to explain it to kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that veggies, you know, good proteins, good fats, like these are the building blocks for your child, for literally how they're growing.
Yeah.
There's so much power in that. There's so much power in what you feed your children.
Yeah.
So focusing on, you know, just tons of fruit and veggies, focusing on unprocessed food, lots of good fats, and then proteins and, you know, whatever that means to you. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a lot of people that eat meat. There's a lot of people that don't eat meat. There's a lot of people that eat only fish, mm-hmm. or, you know, different things. But find good quality sources of protein that work for you and your family.
Yeah.
And there's something that will work for you for every type of family eating situation.
Yeah. So on that, I want to tell you guys a story about Amanda, because I had baby with Amanda, like our baby, oh, yeah. 18 Krista, months.
Yes. I know. Well, and Krista lived where I grew up.
Yeah.
So
she grew up in Idaho where I lived, and she lives in San Diego. So I lived in Idaho. She came up to visit. I met her there. And then now I live by her in California. But when we were pregnant, we have the same kind of circle of people. And we were talking about, and I know this is something that comes up a lot, like, should I really prioritize buying organic food for my family? Because that's expensive. And I do my best, okay, when we can and when it's available, I do. And Amanda, and I usually do it thing with like, I prioritize like organic meat over, you know, like organic bread, just because sometimes we have to prioritize, but Amanda was like, go to Costco. It makes it super easy. And I was like, well, now I have no excuse. And I do go to Costco, and Costco makes choosing organic options really simple when you have kids, because they have a huge selection. It's an affordable price, and it just simplifies it for you so that you don't have to, you know, if you go somewhere like Whole Foods or whatever your grocery store, we have Vons and like Albertsons, it can be really expensive when you're buying it in that way, but there's always options. There's always farmers markets, Costco, Sam's Club, to make it simple, to make these better choices. And just one other thing that she touched on is in regards to nutrition, especially when it comes to protein, is that your kids probably don't have a huge variety of foods that they like to eat. And it sounds like Amanda says, that's okay. Like, find what works and let them eat those on repeat. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. If they like it, if they like chicken and they don't like beef, let them eat chicken, right?
Totally fine. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't. You have to, like anything else, you have to pick your battles.
Yeah.
But that's okay. If they're getting a good quality source of protein, then that's fine.
Yeah.
To touch on organics, yes, organic does matter.
Yeah.
I would encourage you to get whatever organics that you can. And obviously I understand for many things, it is more expensive. There is always a way to make it less expensive by changing your stores or changing how you shop, buying in season. And these things sound like so silly and like way too simple, but they really do work.
Mm-hmm.
Because produce that's in season is a lot cheaper than stuff that's not.
Yeah.
Using your local farmers markets and your local farmers near you can also be really helpful.
Yeah.
As far as cutting costs, a lot of people like those, I've never tried for myself, but the imperfect produce boxes.
Yeah.
If you're needing to get more organic produce, they have an organic option for that. And you guys, there's nothing wrong with like something having something banged up on the outside or being like a little bit ugly. It's fine. The nutritional content is perfect. It's just fine.
Yeah.
Some is better than nothing. If you guys are not familiar with the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 lists, those are always good to go by. In general, like it's cheap. It's relatively cheap to get organic things like carrots, greens, apples, things like that. So maybe just switching over some of like what, like the particular, you know, fruits or veggies that you buy, based on that is one thing that you can do. And then everybody needs more greens. Like literally everybody needs more greens. Mm-hmm. Nobody eats enough. And especially kids. Mm-hmm. And I hear so often that like my kids want to eat greens. There is some way that your kids will eat greens.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's different for all of them. But you can do it. You can put them in smoothies. You can add them to soups. You can put greens. My kids, like if I make kale chips at home and they're really good. I mean, you just,
that's a house favorite here.
Yeah. I mean, a whole thing of kale is gone in like 2 minutes.
Yeah. And you can get the giant bag, what we get at Costco, like this giant thing for like $5.99. And it lasts us, kale doesn't go bad very quickly, guys. So it won't spoil like a romaine or an iceberg will. It lasts a long time and it's so much better for you. You can put it in smoothies. And kale chips. Like that's the only way my kids will eat it. That's two ways though. And I'm like, every day we'll have kale chips or a smoothie with some kale in it. And we're good.
Yes. That's so smart. If you guys don't smoothies with kale, if you add a little bit of banana, your kids will be fine with the kale.
Yeah.
They'll be fine. Another trick about kale is you can freeze it, put it in the bag and freeze it in your freezer. And it will take away those bitter compounds without changing the flavor.
Yeah.
And so if you have kids that even with a smoothie, they won't eat the kale, put the kale in the freezer first and then make the smoothie and they will be totally fine with it.
So we do berries because they're dark and they can't tell that there's green in it, and a banana because it makes it a little bit sweeter and masks the flavor.
Some kids are super tasters, especially kids or that have like sensory issues, sometimes can taste kale no matter what. if you freeze it, those bitter compounds are removed.
Okay, that's a good trick. I did not know that.
And so you can also do that and then put it in soup or curry or, I mean, whatever, anything that you make. Like, greens go so well in anything.
Mm-hmm.
So try that. And then just trying to cut down on your processed and packaged food. Finding snack options that are super simple. Apples and almond butter. Perfect.
Yeah.
It does not have to be complicated for you to give up, you know, store-bought packages of everything for snacks every single day.
Yeah.
And some stuff is okay. Like, I get it. But if you want to work on overall, like, health, and you want to work on overall, especially your kids not getting sick, you have to focus on nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Everything goes back to the gut. And I mean, that could be like, I could talk for like 10 hours about that. but everything goes back to your gut. Your immunity, if you want to boost your immunity is in your gut.
Yeah.
So that's really where you have to focus.
And like she said at the beginning, when you're wanting to start making a more intentional approach to keeping your family healthy and well, you have to be committed to it, which means that you might have to shift some things that you're doing currently. You might have to stop doing some things. And I think the biggest part about nutrition that that really changed things for me was that literally what you eat will either help or hurt your body. So like I stopped drinking alcohol because it doesn't help me in any way. So it's either helping or hurting. And when you do things like buy processed foods all the time or eat fast food all the time, like that's not helping your body. So as much as possible, we don't do it perfectly. And Amy has a really good question, I think, that goes along with this, but ask yourself, like, is this food, and you can use your common sense, is this food going to help me or is it something that's going to hurt me in the way that my body functions? But Amy says, how do you decide on balancing nutrition and fueling with safety? For example, on the discussion of kale, it's on the Dirty Dozen list for testing in the top 12 highest amounts of pesticide residues for produce. I get caught up on trying to balance all these different components just to just eating. Don't overthink it. But Amanda, I'm sure she's the pro.
So yes, I hear you. And environmental toxins are huge to me. And I care very much about all of that. But you are always better off to have the fruits and veggies than to not have them. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's preferred to have organic, especially for the things on that Dirty Dozen list. And there are some things that don't change, you know, like dark greens and berries and things like that are pretty much always on that list. Mm-hmm. And so ideally you purchase those organically. If you absolutely cannot, it's still better to have the non-organic kale than to not have any greens.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope that makes sense. But also take a look around because there, I mean, Trader Joe's has bags of organic kale for like $2.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like,
yeah. And Costco, that big,
it might be $3, but I don't know. They're very inexpensive.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's changing your store. And if you're trying to transition to eating this way, your big box stores, like, you know, Ralph's and Albertsons and things like that, they may or may not be the best fit for you.
Yeah.
Some of them are really starting to transition over and have more organics and more, you know, whole food options. Mm-hmm. Whole food's not like the store, meaning like a whole food. But a lot of the times, I mean, you're walking up and down aisles and aisles and aisles of not food.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you go to a smaller store, like Sprouts is a good example. If you have access to something like that, it's smaller, you're quick in and out. That saves me time. Not everything there is healthy. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's much easier to find healthier options than wading through like the mess mm-hmm. of a big Ralph's or something like that.
Yeah.
So see where in your area you can find organic greens that are not super expensive. Also, I mean, summer's coming up and greens are really easy to grow. Mm-hmm. So that's a quick one that you can do on your own at home. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that anytime your kids grow something, it's so easy to get them to eat it and try it because they did this.
Yeah.
And it's so fun for them.
Yeah.
So yeah. And if you do that from seed, it's super cheap, very inexpensive.
Yeah.
So Amy, I hope that helps.
It does. If you have
any questions about it, let me know.
She's got the, she's saying, I knew you'd say that. True, true. She has no Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, Natural Grocers, Sprouts, Costco, or Farmers Markets here. Well, what do you have? I'm just kidding. It's okay. I know where you're at.
Where is that?
What? Arizona, somewhere in Arizona. But she says she loves this idea. She's near my family, actually. But I think as with anything that we ever talk about and when we move into like talking about like remedies and stuff too, like I'd love to hear what you think about this too. But I think a lot of times when it comes to like what we're eating, your intention behind it is what matters most. So don't overthink it. Don't be like, I have to find the perfect kale. I have to find the perfect whatever. Go into it being like, I'm going to buy foods that support our body. I'm going to go into it knowing that I'm doing the best. And like that intention carries a lot of weight when you are learning to be proactively, you know, promoting, keeping your kids healthy and well, which I know we all want to do.
But what Chris is saying will make it feel easier for you to make those hard choices.
Okay? Yeah.
It will make it feel like you're not depriving yourself.
Yeah.
But that you're gaining something, you're choosing wellness mm-hmm. instead of like giving something up and like depriving yourself of something. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's really important, you know, the mindset that you take.
Yeah. That. Yeah. And I think that's something that happens a lot. I think is that especially I have a lot of family and friends in this boat where they don't do it intentionally. They are complacent in their food choices, and then they end up with these really serious issues later on. And yeah. it always makes me wonder, like, was it worth it? I don't think so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard. I always want to say, like, anything I say, I'm never judgmental. If you feel like I'm like knocking on you, I'm totally not. Everybody has to make the right choices for them. But if you want to talk about like how to make better options, and I'm just going to give it to you real straight and,
yep.
and be correct. Yep. For fast food kind of stuff, I'll just be totally like super honest to you guys. We don't eat fast food.
Yeah.
We don't ever eat fast food. If I need an option like that, then I will, like sometimes when we're traveling or something,
yeah.
we will stop at Chipotle. Because to me and my values, that is the best option.
It's yeah.
not perfect.
No.
But it feels okay for like occasional to me, because I can get, you know, reasonably good food without like a bunch of total crap in there.
And yeah.
I can feel okay about feeding my kids that sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's hard, you know, this world we live in where fast food and things like that are very normalized. It can feel hard to get completely away from that.
Yeah.
So zero judgment if that's where you're at. But maybe just kind of starting to think about like alternatives and other options and things that you can do, because it really truly does matter.
It does. It does. And I think that's exactly right. It's like sometimes we just need to hear like, there's a different way. There are alternatives. You might be the weird one. Guys, my kid, so I just want to tell you guys this, that I grew up in a split household with two very different practices. My dad was very physically fit, ate really well. The other side of my family was like, we're having Oreos for dinner again. And I could see from a pretty young age, like the differences of like, my dad's so much happier. My dad plays with me more. My dad takes us hiking, and that doesn't happen on this side of the family. They're always sick. They're always too tired to play. They're always grumpy. And I got to see that as a kid, which I think is a really good experience. And I naturally, once I had kids, was like, I want to be like my dad. I want to be able to play with them and go outside with them and take them on hikes. And my kids went to Chick-fil-A for the first time ever, like a month ago, and they were blown away. They called it a giant chicken nugget on a bun. And they were like, this is the craziest thing ever. And they loved it. But, like, I don't feel like it's weird, but I know that like my family and probably their friends are like, you've never been to Chick-fil-A. Like, that's weird. Be okay with being the weirdo. It doesn't matter. Stacey says, what about birthday cake at birthday parties? I don't obsess over it. So it's not like I'm going to tell them no, but I'm going to, in our house, in our home, do my best to make the options available on a regular basis as good as I can make them be.
Yeah. I think, it's a personal decision. It used to be that like, you know, those things were so rare and few and far between that like, it didn't really matter. But now we're kind of in this age where like, there's treats at school all the time. If your kids go to school, there's mm-hmm. treats at school all the time. There's birthday parties like every weekend. Mm-hmm. So if you're feeling like you don't feel good about it, then that means you need to change and do something different.
Yeah.
But if it feels like it's this super occasional thing that doesn't really matter, and you also feel like your child doesn't have effects from what they're eating,
mm-hmm.
then fine. But many children do react to, especially the dyes in things like blue cupcakes and things like that. And so if you notice that's a problem for you, or you notice that you don't feel good about it, then listen to that.
Yeah.
There are other options. If you're talking about your own child, there are places that make birthday cakes without those things, if that matters to you. I can tell you that for us personally, and this is zero judgment to what anybody else does. For us personally, When we go to things like that, I tell my daughter, you can have it or not have it. I don't care. If you would rather have something sweet that I know you like after we leave instead, that's great. And she chooses that every time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think because it's normal for her.
Yes.
So
the times that she has tasted the cake, she didn't like it, which was probably just super lucky for me. She didn't like it.
Yeah. She's like, what is this overwhelming sugar? Yeah,
but be okay to like be different and always, you don't have to make it a big deal and you don't have to say anything about it. You don't have to have any comments about it.
Yeah.
It's okay to say no, thank you. And to teach your child to say no, thank you. And that's it. And you can, anything else you do about that, you can deal with privately at home. That's okay.
Exactly. It doesn't need to be a big deal. It doesn't have to be an obsessive thing to where you make other people uncomfortable. That's never the goal. But you also, you know, you can make your own decisions and promote what it is that you want to promote. And so I liked what you said about listening to your intuition and knowing what you're okay with. Let's talk a little bit about that and like, because I think that's a really good foundation, like actively promoting wellness and health. But when they do get sick, you know, what are some things to do to kind of like kick in the immune system into high gear and help that?
Lots of things.
Yeah.
The first thing on the prevention side is probiotics.
Probiotics. Yes.
Probiotics. So if you have a kid that will eat like sauerkraut and drink kombucha and things like that, great. That's awesome. If you don't, and there's a lot of them that they don't like any of that stuff and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Then probiotics may be a good idea for you. Okay. Yeah. So they help to support the normal good bacteria that's in our gut. And that's what helps keep you well. Okay. That can be one of the big differences between your child getting something or not getting something when they're around that other kid that's sick.
Mm-hmm.
So nutrition is a big part, but then probiotics can help. It's not a fix all for everything. Like that's all you have to do when you're done.
Right.
But it can be really helpful. If your kids do get sick anyway, first just acknowledge that, I'm talking about the viral routine kind of stuff. This stuff is fairly normal to have sometimes, and it is okay. There's nothing wrong with your kid having a little virus every now and then, okay? There's also nothing wrong with your kid having a fever. Fever is okay. And Krista, I don't know if there's a way to link, or maybe I can send it to you later, but I have Seattle Children's has a really good fever myths and facts sheet that I really like to share with families.
Yeah.
And it really dispels like all the myths about fever.
Yeah.
Fever is our body's natural defense system for making us well. And when your child has a fever, that's okay. If your child has a fever for several days or is very young and has a very high fever or something like that, please see your pediatrician or get some kind of medical care or something. Okay. Yeah. But if you have a child that you feel reasonably comfortable with and they just have a little fever, that's okay.
Yeah.
Personally, at our house, we don't treat fevers. My kids are 6 and 18 months. I've never given either of them any medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. I don't.
And this
is a lot of you that sound like super crazy, and you don't have to do what I do.
Right.
But I want you to know it's an option. When my kids do have fever, it's very short. It doesn't last very long. And then it's gone.
Yeah.
So there may be some benefits to not treating fever for viral illnesses.
Yeah.
So and
this is a topic that we'll put the link in the description for the replays for that fever, the myths and facts. But this is the kind of thing that we were talking about at the beginning, is that you have to self-educate. You have to take it upon yourself to understand the body and how it works, so that you can make those kinds of decisions with confidence and you can trust your gut. Because with my first, I was a really young mom. Okay. I was like 19 when I had her. She had a lot of ear infections. I did everything that they told me to do, which is, you know, like we talked about at the beginning, it's not a Western versus Eastern medicine battle. It's understanding both sides and when you need them. And I did everything that they told me to. And looking back, a lot of it was pretty unnecessary. If I would have let her have her fever, her body could have fought that stuff off itself. You know, if I would have supported her immune system better, she would have been able to not have to have, you know, 5 rounds of antibiotics and then get tubes in her ears. So I think understanding things like fevers and understanding things like common viruses and bacteria and knowing that your kids are gonna get sick at some point and that's normal and that's okay, so that you can trust your intuition and act on it. So I think that's another key, is acting on it when it needs to be acted on.
So I have an insider tip for families about antibiotics, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to be really blunt here. Do not ask your pediatrician for antibiotics. Your pediatrician, most of them, are already prescribing way more antibiotics than you could ever possibly need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if anything, you need to be questioning the antibiotics.
Yeah.
But asking your doctor for antibiotics, if your doctor is not telling you you must have this, you don't need it, mm-hmm. and you shouldn't be asking.
Right.
And I know that sounds like horrible and awful, and I'm probably going to get flamed for that. but antibiotics are not your friend.
Yeah.
Giving your children antibiotics it's not your friend. Okay.
Right.
There are cases where that is truly needed, and that's okay, and that's what they're for.
Yeah.
But it's not for snot, and it's not for a cough that's lasted for 2 weeks, and it's not for, you know, those kind of things. It's not even for most ear infections.
Yeah.
To be really honest with you.
Yeah.
When you give antibiotics, you further destroy their gut bacteria, you further deplete their immunity, and then we wonder why they get sick again.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Not ask the doctor for antibiotics.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, because there's a lot of, like I said, this is something where you have to self-educate. But when I had that experience with my daughter, I was like, this doesn't feel right to me. I don't think this is right, because she was given 5 rounds of antibiotics to clear out fluid from her ear, which is not what antibiotics are for. So I looked into it, and I shouldn't have given her so many rounds of antibiotics to dry up fluid from her ear that wasn't an ear infection, that wasn't causing her pain or discomfort. And that's what I mean by self-education, is that it's there for you when you need it. There is a time and a place for antibiotics and getting the help that you need, but it's not every single time or over every little thing, because then it ends up, you know, making things more complicated than it needs to be. So probiotics is what you recommend. Probiotics, which support the gut at the most basic level. Get it from foods if possible. Fermented foods, kombucha, water kefir is really good too. You can get like yogurts and stuff too that are loaded with probiotics, or like a dairy kefir. But okay, what else? What else to support?
When your kids are actually sick.
Yes.
If you feel comfortable and if you can talk yourself into it, all those things, let them have the fever. Okay.
Yes.
Hang out at home. If the fever is like super high, making them uncomfortable, or it's making you uncomfortable, there are some things you can do to naturally bring it down a little bit. One thing you can do is put your kids in a bath that's just barely warm. Do not put your kids in a cold bath. Okay. Do not put your febrile kid in a cold bath. They're just going to be miserable, screaming, horribly uncomfortable, and everybody's going to like hate life.
Yeah.
So put them in a barely warm bath. And then hang out and play for a long time. Let the water cool down. And while they're in there, their body temperature is going to cool down too.
Yeah.
So you can hang out in there quite a while. But start it when it's warm. Okay? You're not trying to torture them. But that can help. You can also take even just like a wet washcloth that's wringed out with cool water. And you can just kind of wipe their forehead, the back of their neck, their back. And that can bring down fever a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
At our house, we use a lot of essential oils. And there's lots of oil that can help a little bit with fever. Again, with fever, you want to treat the discomfort. You want to treat them being miserable. If your child can sleep and your child can drink, then they're doing fine with their fever. Okay, so those are the things you really want to focus on. Make sure that you're pushing fluids when your child has a fever, because they're going to burn through that so much faster with how hot they are.
Yeah.
If your kids don't want to eat, that's okay. They just need to be drinking and peeing and taking fluids. If you can get your child to take it, coconut water is perfect when you have, you know, fever and viruses and things like that. Because if they're not eating, they're still getting a little bit of, you know, the salts that they need and a tiny bit of sugar, which is helpful. Mm-hmm. Let them rest. I know a lot of people get freaked out when their febrile kid just wants to sleep for like 10 hours during the day, but let them rest.
Yeah.
It's okay. Resting is when your body's healing. That's when you're getting better. If you have any kind of viral upper respiratory stuff, I can't say enough about elderberry.
Yes.
Elderberry is amazing. We make our own. It's super easy. Anybody can do it. It's very inexpensive to make your own. If you totally don't want to do any of that, there's lots of store-bought versions available. Mm-hmm. But they do tend to run on the expensive side for the doses that you need.
Yeah.
If you have a kid that has, you know, a good virus. So it's pretty easy to learn how to make your own. I can give you a recipe for that too, if that's helpful.
Yeah.
Elderberry is safe for all kids of all ages. It's safe for adults. It's safe if you're pregnant. The only caveat is that some elderberry syrups have honey, and honey should be avoided for infants less than 12 months.
Yeah.
As an alternative for that, I make my elderberry as a glycerite. So I use an organic glycerin as the base. Mm-hmm. And that makes the elderberry syrup really sweet, so kids like it. Mm-hmm. But it also makes it very stable so that it can last in your fridge for a long time.
Yeah.
Because what you don't want to do is find out your kid is sick and then have to go make syrup and all these other things. Okay. Because then you feel overwhelmed and then things are stressful and it's everything but simple, right?
Yeah.
So if you can kind of build up your wellness cabinet and have that ready to go if you need it. Mm-hmm. I do give it to my kids during the winter to help prevent stuff too. But I stopped doing that a little while ago. Pretty much all year round, though, I have elderberry ready to go in our fridge in case they get sick. Because I don't want to make it when everything starts and they're miserable.
Yeah.
So if you make the glycerin version, then it'll last for a long time and you can keep it.
Yeah.
So I'll give Krista that link too.
Yes, I have a list. I'm making a running list of what to give them. But elderberry, so I want to touch on this too, guys. When we talk about things like probiotics and elderberry, they're not just like buzzwords. They actually work. And when you start to self-educate, you learn why, you learn how probiotics support the gut and the good bacteria. You learn that elderberry has a ton of antioxidants in it and works to boost your immune system in a supercharged kind of way.
It's also directly antiviral. So it's directly antiviral.
Yes.
Especially for flu.
Yeah. Yes. And I will say, guys, that with my first daughter, I was terrified of fevers. I'm not anymore. However, Kaylee, back in January, did get the flu and had a fever that got up to 106.5. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm not comfortable with this. We're going in. But, you know, it used to be that if it got over like 101.5, I was like, oh my gosh, we have to go in. And now I'm like, it's fine. It's fine.
It's great.
Yeah. It's
yeah. And she did okay and was fine.
Yeah, she did. We did all the elderberry, some other things we did, Epsom salt baths, elderberry. I can't remember what else we did. Nettles tea, oils, which we'll talk about as well, because Amanda knows a lot about oils too. But I think the last question, that we can kind of touch on, I don't know how much of an answer you can give this because it's a really big question. But for somebody who has kids who are chronically sick, you know, do you have any tips on kind of like resetting or restoring the body so that they can get out of that cycle of like being sick and needing more supplements or needing more medicines or more interventions? How do you get out of that?
It depends on how severe it is and how desperate you are in the particular situation.
Okay.
If it's not that bad, you can just start implementing all the things that we've talked about.
Yeah.
If it's like horrible, awful, and it's chronic and you're ready to do like big changes, then I would look into some kind of gut reset protocol. The GAPS diet is one.
GAPS diet. Okay.
Yep. There's 4R is another one. Mark Hyman does that. Mark Hyman is an integrative physician that does a lot of functional medicine, integrative medicine, a lot of work with nutrition, So there's different ways to do that, but it's basically where you remove allergens from the diet, allergens and irritants, and you add in a lot of gut healing food and supplements, and you wait and you let your gut. Your body has an amazing ability to heal itself. Okay. When we give your body the right things, your body wants to heal itself.
Yeah.
So your body's not at odds with you, and it's not, you know, this battle you have to fight. Like when you're chronically ill like that, your body is saying, I'm not getting something that I need.
Yeah.
And so it's figuring out what your body needs so that that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
But I see so often when people are chronically ill or when their children are chronically ill, that people feel like it's this battle and they feel like they just have to fight harder. And it's not about that. It's about figuring out like what the base underlying problem is and figuring out how to support your body in a, in a better way.
The body is really simple. It likes good food and it likes good water and it likes to have space to do what it needs to do.
Yes.
So I think one of the hardest things though, is people think, like you said at the beginning, they think they have to do everything right away and do it perfectly all at once. And it, that's not it. There's throughout this whole entire episode, there's so many little things that you can do to start changing and shifting to make it so that the body can do that. I know I shared an experience with about my son that I think people think this is how it has to be, but he was really sick for a long time. Not like, you know, like having a fever and stuff all the time, but had like chronic digestive issues. High, really high and low moods. And I had done all these things, you know, I had started, you know, with the diet and added in supplements like elderberry and vitamin C and all these things and doing oils with him regularly, which is a big part of what we do at our house too. But, I eventually took him to a chiropractor because I was like, this isn't working. He needs more help. And my, the chiropractor was honestly my last ditch effort. And it was the best thing ever. And the reason that I like the chiropractor, not only because they explained to me how like physiologically it works as far as clearing out his body, that's basically what happened, was through his adjustments, his body was able to purge all this toxic stuff built up in his body that was working against him. But they also gave me really good guidance on allergy elimination and fixing his diet. And he had a dairy sensitivity and he doesn't have it anymore. So sometimes you do have to take it a step further, but for the most part, you can do these simple changes that Amanda's telling you about to fix it.
Yeah, I think Chiro's great. If your kids struggle with chronic ear infections, that's definitely a place to go.
Yeah.
But they're great for so many things. I think that's that's totally correct. You touched on oils. I'm also a certified aromatherapist. And
yes.
We use oils all the time for literally like everything.
Yes. Okay, so, so tell us about that.
I know not everybody's into that, but if you're into that, oils can do so much to support, you know, your body and your family and to help keep you well. So we use oils. I mean, I diffuse them all day. I use them on my kids every day. I use them to help them go to sleep. I use them for stress, skincare, immunity. I mean, like literally I can't think of anything that I couldn't use them for.
Yeah.
Like, name a problem and I can tell you like something that you can do.
Yes.
So they're a tool like anything else. They work best when you use them with a holistic system, when you have, you know, foundational nutrition in place and maybe some choice supplements for you or your children or whatever. But essential oils can do a lot as far as boosting your immune system and also helping your kids to get well when they're sick too.
Yeah.
So we use a lot of thieves at our house, especially in the winter or if my kids are sick. And that's something that you can diffuse and then it just kind of goes throughout, you know, the air in your home. You can also, oils like that, you always want to make sure you dilute, especially for kids. So that means adding to some coconut oil, or you can use any oil you have. If you cook with avocado oil, you can use that to dilute your essential oils.
Yeah.
Like it can be so simple.
Yeah.
You can put that on your kids at night when they go to bed. And during the winter, we definitely do that. We'll do like an immunity roller on their feet when they go to bed. to help them.
Yes.
But there's so much you can do, so much.
So with oils and how I use them, what I've noticed, and you probably agree, is that if I treat the oils like my last ditch effort, if I only use them when I'm like desperate and like, oh my gosh, the kids won't sleep, I'm going to put it on them, they don't work as well. They are definitely something that I think you have to integrate into kind of like a regular practice. Like oils have helped my kids with sleeping, but yeah. It's not like I can be like, it was a rough night, I put oils on them and they crashed. Like sometimes that might work, but they work best when I'm like, this is our routine.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lifestyle. 100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a lifestyle.
And same thing with thieves and promoting the immune system.
Essential oils also give you an opportunity to remove toxic products from your house.
Yeah.
Because they offer you so many alternatives for things that you're using that might not be the best for you. I mean, when we think of like environmental toxins and things to stay away from, many of us don't know that the things to stay away from are the things that you're buying at Target.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
it is true.
If I could get every family to change out one thing, it would be to get rid of dryer sheets.
Yeah.
Dryer sheets are so.
And use what instead?
Toxic chemicals. Use wool dryer balls.
Yep.
You know what those are?
Okay. I do. I was just wanting you to tell them.
I was getting there. So I know, I mean, most of us grew up with like Bounce and stuff like that. I get it. I grew up that way too. But those sheets are full of just toxic chemicals. Mm-hmm. Often that they don't even have to tell you the exact ingredients for.
Yeah.
These chemicals are skin and respiratory irritants. I can't tell you how many times families have removed these from their house and they will say, my kid's eczema just like is gone, or my kid's asthma is better.
Yeah.
After he told me to do that. Do you think it's related? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's definitely related.
Yeah.
So ditch the dryer sheets, even the ones that say they're like super clean and natural. You don't need them. They're not helping you.
Yeah.
So get on Amazon and buy a 6-pack of dryer balls. I'll send you a link.
Okay.
There's a good brand that I've used and that I recommend to a lot of people that's not very expensive. And for the most part, buying dryer balls is like a once and done deal. You can do that for years and years and years. But I had the last ones for probably 8 years. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
So they last for a long time. You should get at least a few years out of them. So it's better for you. It's better for the environment. It's just better for everything.
Yeah. Somebody says, how do you get the dryer balls to smell like a dryer sheet?
Essential oils.
Yep.
If you want your laundry to smell, you can use them plain. They don't have to smell, but
yeah.
If you like your laundry to be scented, like I get it. I like when my laundry smells good too. Then just put some essential oil on the wool dryer balls.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you're using an actual real essential oil and that it doesn't have any carrier oil in it. Mm-hmm. Essential oils are not oily. Okay. So they're not going to stain your clothes. They're not going to make, you know, oil marks on anything. Mm-hmm. Lavender is nice. We do sometimes different citrus oil.
Mine is really good.
Mm-hmm. Lemongrass is really good. Lemongrass smells so good. And I love it on my laundry. Yeah. That one tends to hang around for a long time too.
Yeah.
But also, and I know whoever asked this is going to hate me for saying this, but if you love that, like that downy, unstoppable kind of smell on your clothes, you got to work on that. That's something that's a whole other issue.
Yeah.
Because your laundry is not supposed to smell like that.
Yeah.
And you are just exposing yourself to toxic stuff every time you smell that.
Yeah. And I will say it is a shift because I used to be obsessed with it. And on that, like in the same kind of thing, like I liked to, this is so bad to say, I liked to clean my bathroom and have to have all like the windows and the fans on, because otherwise I was like, like coughing and dying, like cleaning my bathroom. That's not okay.
Totally toxic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So now I joke that the bathroom cleaner, like my kids could spray it in their mouth and they'd be fine. Cause we use the household cleaner, like the concentrate.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's fine. Like, I don't have to have the windows open. They can literally spray it on their face or lick it.
Yes.
And I'm like, it's fine.
My six-year-old cleans everything at our house. I mean, granted, like some things I have to fix and all that, but
yeah.
I can let her clean anything.
Yeah.
Because we also use Thieves Cleaner. That's the only thing I use for my whole house.
Yeah.
It's cheap. It smells good. It works amazing. And it's safe. There's no like weird ingredients in it. It's plant-based surfactants and essential oils.
Yeah.
And that's it. And the plant-based surfactants are from coconut. Sometimes people ask like, well, what is it? It's coconut derived plant surfactants.
Yeah.
Surfactants are what make it clean. That's what gets like the dirt and grime and everything off.
Yeah.
If you totally don't want to use a product like that, you can make your own, you know, different cleaners with like vinegar and things like that. Mm-hmm. I personally can't stand my home smelling like vinegar. I don't like it.
I don't either.
But if you like that, it's non-toxic. It's great. It works. It's fine.
Yeah.
Not my favorite. But getting that kind of stuff out of your house is so, so important.
Yeah.
So important.
So yeah, Stacey was like, I know oils, but the pine, the ones that I like, the ones that kind of have more of like a masculine scent. I haven't ever done lemongrass like Amanda said, but the masculine scents to me, they're stronger, like pine and...
like all the woody oils.
Yeah,
like
woody. Yeah. Like spruces, even like blue tansy. That one's really good too.
Oh, well, yeah.
Cedarwood.
Yeah.
Those more like, people think they're more masculine, but they actually smell stronger. You can pick it up more on your clothes. Okay. I think that's it. That was a lot. That was really good. So we have a lot of things that I will put into the description of the replay for you guys as far as fevers, elderberry, recipes. We'll put the dryer balls in there. We'll put the links for oils if you're interested in getting that, because that is – it all works together. It all works together. And just to go back to what we talked about at the beginning, like it's not that you have to be either or. It's not that you have to be like anti-medicine. But I do think that it's really important to understand both sides and to empower yourself and educate yourself so that you can – make these small little changes that make a huge, huge difference in the health, the proactive health and keeping your kids healthy short and long term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of you are welcome to reach out. You can shoot me a question or a message if there's something you didn't get to ask.
I'm really
happy to talk to anybody here.
Yeah.
I love family wellness and I love kids and babies and all of that. So
yeah,
to answer questions.
Yes, I'll put her link for her. She has a website. She's got tons of information that we'll give to you guys so that you can stay in touch with her. But thank you for doing this.
Yeah, I'd love to chat with you.
Yeah, we should probably do a follow-up. Yeah. Hey, friend. Did you love this episode? If you did, I would love if you took a screenshot of it and shared it with somebody else. Okay, the whole point of this is to create a community of moms who get each other, who support each other, and who, when they find something that helps them, they share it with somebody. So I would love if you shared this podcast with somebody, with maybe just a little note about how it helped you or how it inspired you, so that it can help somebody else. I would also love it if you left me a review. Leaving a review lets me get better stats on the internet and blah, blah, blah. Basically, it helps me help more moms like you. I would so appreciate it. If you hated this episode, I'm sorry, but I'm also kind of impressed that you listened to it all and you're still listening. So still leave me a review, still share it, because I'm sure somebody can benefit from it. I'll see you guys on the next episode. Thank you.